You don't need to face criminal charges alone. Call me, Frank Walker, 412-532-6805.
Duffy's Beer presents the morning show on Trib Live Radio featuring Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and Tim Benz. 294 Curry Hollow Road, 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com.
The Trib Live Radio Triple Threat.
He wants three. You know that's a trip, triple.
And Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and now Tim Benz right here on Trib Live Radio.
Time for a college football fix here on Trib Live, and our West Virginia chats this year are all brought to you by FrankWalkerLaw.com, criminal defense attorney. Keenan Cummings writes and covers the WVU Mountaineers, and they're going to be in action this weekend, 7 p.m., home game against Oklahoma State. Big 12 play gets going for the home side of it. What's going on, Keenan? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We're pretty good. How are Mountaineers fans feeling after the disappointment last week in Oklahoma?
I don't think they took it too well. You know, there was a lot of confidence on West Virginia's side going into that game. A tough place to play, obviously. I think you kind of got a mixed bag. You know, some fans are devastated when West Virginia loses a game. Others are kind of looking at it from a rational perspective. But I think they're ready to bounce back. You know, it's a Stripe the Stadium game this weekend. It's going to be sold out. Should be a good environment in Mountaineer Field.
Keenan, for the better part of 45 minutes, that was a pretty good contest. Then the last 15 minutes and 18 seconds, it just went down the tubes. Take us through what happened after that touchdown late in the third quarter and how West Virginia was unable to bounce back.
Yeah, after Skylar Howard's long touchdown run, things just kind of unraveled, as you mentioned. Oklahoma hit him on a big pass play. There was some miscommunication in the secondary. The guy bit up. They were supposed to play man-to-man. He played zone, and pretty much Neal ran free for a 75-yard touchdown. You're not going to have an easier touchdown than that.
Right.
West Virginia got the ball back. Some breakdowns in protection. You know, the fullback just whiffed on a block, quite truthfully, on Eric Stryker. He got a pretty free release at Skylar Howard. Absolutely crushed him. Forced a fumble. They returned it for a touchdown. And then after that, West Virginia had a couple other just absolute critical mistakes that gave them no chance to even come back in that game.
This is a tough month. I mean, October's schedule for West Virginia is ridiculous. They have not fared well. I believe they've lost 10 of their last 12 games against top 25 teams. Do they have to get over that hump? I mean, what would you say to someone that says, they look good in September, but they didn't play anybody? As soon as they play somebody, they get crushed.
It's been a mixed bag. You know, they have had some big upsets in Big 12 play, but it's been consistently is the problem. You know, they have played a lot of ranked teams over the course of their Big 12 existence, but the problem is they'll string together a big win. A couple of years ago, they were able to beat Oklahoma State, and then you turn around and lose to teams like Kansas and Iowa State, and West Virginia just has not had any consistency. You know, this is the year that was kind of pegged to be that year, and you mentioned the schedule, absolutely brutal schedule this month for West Virginia. I don't want to call a game a must-win in October, but this is a big game for West Virginia against Oklahoma State because it doesn't get any easier going on the road to TCU and Baylor.
Well, how good is Okie State? I mean, they are unbeaten, but I see the Mountaineers are a hefty favorite here, and they've beaten this team the last 2 years.
It's going to be interesting. You know, they're undefeated right now. They've played Texas and Kansas State in conference. Kansas State was down to their fourth, fifth-string quarterback at the time. And Oklahoma State was able to edge it out. They're a pretty good football team, at least by the numbers. They've struggled to run the ball. I think that'll be an important aspect of this game. If West Virginia is able to make them one-dimensional, but Mason Rudolph has lived up to the hype, you know, being a starting quarterback. He's only lost one game. He's won seven in a row for them in that job. And he does a really good job getting the football out. And one of the keys to this game, in my opinion, is they are very, very good at springing big plays. And West Virginia was absolutely burned by that last week against Oklahoma.
Where do you see West Virginia now going up against Oklahoma State, Oklahoma? You know, the traditional Big 12 rivalries, are those built up yet in the fan base's mind? You know, I imagine this is a big one for Holgorsen, of course, but just tell me from your point of view as it relates to the buzz surrounding the team and the nature of these Big 12 rivalries. Are they established yet and cemented with the West Virginia fan base?
I think it's getting there. I wouldn't say that necessarily Oklahoma State is looked at like a Pitt or a Maryland or anything like that. But I think you're seeing that, especially with Texas Tech, TCU, Baylor, some of these games that West Virginia had that have been really close, some heartbreakers both ways. That kind of is how a rivalry starts. You know, West Virginia had the same thing happen with Louisville in the Big East days, had a couple close games, you know, back and forth, and that just kind of spurned, I guess, a mutual hatred between the two schools, and you're starting to see that in the Big 12.
Yeah, you know, the reason I bring that up, Ken, is, like, for instance, you brought up Pitt. You know, Pitt going into the ACC, yes, I guess there in the long term will be rivalries that develop with them and Duke and North Carolina and Virginia. But I think in a lot of ways, these are less familiar teams that aren't that much better than some of the teams they played against for a long time in the Big East and when they're an Eastern Independent. At least with West Virginia, as people get more used to this year-by-year Big 12 schedule, they're good teams. You know what I mean? Like, they're historic teams, or, you know, they're teams that you could see in the top 25 year-to-year in Oklahoma, in Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, et cetera.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that fans are excited about the schedule. Anytime you can play Oklahoma, anytime you can play Texas, regardless of how those teams are doing, the opportunity to play them, TCU, Baylor,
right,
Oklahoma State, go down the list. I mean, it's exciting. You know, fans get really excited about it now. Would they love to see Pitt, you know, on the schedule? Absolutely. But at the same time, you know, I think fans are starting to get used to it. They're getting excited. They understand it's a different animal than the Big East, but it's fun. You know, they do enjoy it. They've made road trips out. You know, a lot of them have been involved. And you're starting to see that both ways, really. You know, you're getting fans from other schools that are starting to, you know, it was a big welcoming party when West Virginia entered the league. Now you're starting to see a little bit of a rivalry forming with some of these teams.
What do you think about Oklahoma State's pass rush has been devastating the last couple of weeks? Mountaineers able to handle that, you think, or at least stem some of those sacks?
They're going to have to. Absolutely a key to the game. 22 sacks, they lead the nation. They also lead the nation in tackles for loss. Two areas that West Virginia just struggled with last week against Oklahoma. 7 sacks against the Sooners, that cannot happen this week. Emmanuel Ogba is one of the premier pass-rushing defensive ends in the country. A little bit different style than what you're going to see out of Eric Stryker. You know, it's not going to be a straight speed rush, more speed power. But West Virginia is going to have to do something there. The tackles are going to have to win one-on-one. They're going to have to shift, or they're going to have to double-team, because it's going to be a long day if they're able to get in the backfield quite a bit.
Well, lastly, you got a prediction sure to go wrong for this one, Keenan?
I've went back and forth on this one, especially after the injury to Carl Joseph, emotional leader, senior leader for West Virginia. I think they're going to get it done at home. I think it's going to be close. It would not shock me if Oklahoma State won, but I've been consistent with this. I'm going West Virginia 31-24.
Mm-hmm. Keenan Cummings, West Virginia writer for WVUSports.com, part of the Rivals Network. Keenan, thanks for coming on. Appreciate the insight.
Thanks, Keenan.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
All right, enjoy the game. That's ESPN2, 7 p.m. Saturday. And that doesn't sound good to me, guys. Guy, the question you asked about the pressure, top sack team in the country against the...
Oh, my God. They've got 22 sacks, 13 in the last 2 weeks, and West Virginia gave up a ton of them last week. Seems like a mismatch at that point right there.
How was West Virginia favored by 6.5 in this game? God, I'm ready to bet the mortgage on the Sooners.
I mean, this team beat Texas.
Cowboys.
Texas isn't
Cowboys,
good.
Sorry.
You know, they beat. Wow. They had some crappy teams in there that they played.
And you lose Carl Joseph for the year.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad we got that insight. That's solidified my pick for noon. We'll talk more college football. Oh, real quick, Chris Peake was on because he mentioned the stripe out game. Chris Peake did his show yesterday, the Panther Lair show, and was talking about Narduzzi. I didn't realize this. Sending out a message to all Pitt followers, trying to encourage them to not only come to the game, but stay at the game, basically saying, I've lived up to my end of the bargain. We're 3-1. We need you to show up against Virginia this weekend. And to encourage kids to stay, they're offering Pepsi and Fritos if they stay to the end of the game.
That's pathetic.
Pepsi and Fritos.
You've got to bribe people to stay to watch your games.
Wow. Really?
But I agree with you. It sounds pathetic. But if it's a problem, do you credit Narduzzi for at least trying something? I mean, if you were the coach and you knew
kids were leaving early. I'd do Tony Dorsett bobbleheads and fireworks. I think it would work better.
But get them to stay to the end of the game. They'll collect that at the beginning of the game and then leave.
Fireworks are at the end of the game.
Yeah, okay.
So you have to stay through Sweet Caroline to get your Pepsi and your Fritos?
Yes. This is what Chris, what Chris said.
And you have to consume them in the stadium? You cannot take your Pepsi and Fritos out of the stadium? What are the rules here? I need to know more.
We got to get Chris back on then, I guess. This is just what I was listening to
yesterday.
Where is
this? This is on the Twitter feed? This is on his Twitter feed?
Is tomorrow homecoming for Pitt?
Yeah, it's homecoming.
Oh, my goodness. You got to bribe people to come to homecoming.
It is a problem, though, right? I mean,
yes,
people leave
problem.
Early, and you got to do something about it.
No
so
doubt it's a problem.
Narduzzi's not nuts. I mean, he's not crazy. I don't know. He can't offer them beer.
They should. They should bend the rules.
That's why they're leaving. They want beer.
Well, and they got to get on the bus to take it back to the, to Oakland. If you're up big or you're down big, I can understand why kids want to get out of there. If it's cold and you're going to have to wait an hour for a bus, yeah, I'd rather get to the bus, get on it, and get back home and get back in my dorm room.
I shouldn't mock. I shouldn't make fun because, Guy, I think now that we're talking about this out loud, to go back to the recurring theme, this is what Syracuse should do with insomnia cookies. Is get people to stay in the
end
dome.
End of the game.
Yes, you don't get your insomnia cookies until the middle of the fourth, and then you get free insomnia cookies.
I don't have a problem with people leaving early. I have a problem with people not showing up at all.
Especially, that has
been a problem. You know, believe it or not, college students do have other things to do after a football game. You might have my own daughter, they were going out to the bars after the game last week, but she had a lot of there was an early start against Army, and she went home to do a bunch of homework before they went out again. I'm not saying – you know,
should have lived up to mom's expectations and get laid.
She had
stuff to do.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There are a bunch of recruits coming to this game. It's a big one for Pitt, right? They got like 30 recruits coming in.
Do they also get Pepsi and Fritos, or is that a recruitment violation?
That might be a violation. And tonight they got Wiz Khalifa coming for a zoo after hours at the Peterson Event Center, hosted by Jay Williams.
You know what? You get Wiz Khalifa in a room, I bet you there'll be some Fritos consumed.
Yeah, or some of those cookies.
I got to find
both
this, Ken.
A Frito cookie.
Yeah, I want to find this email, too. I should have looked this up before the show today.
Well, I don't see it on the Twitter feed. Are you sure it was a Twitter feed thing? Or was
No, it was like an email, I think, to all like an email blast to all Pitt.
Oh, an email blast. All right.
Every one of their clubhouse members or whatever it is, Chris opened the show with us yesterday. He was talking about it. Maybe Taylor knows more because he was listening to the whole thing. But I think that's the gist of it. They're trying to find ways to keep people in the stadium. And I agree. The first thing I thought is this is pathetic, Guy. It's exactly what you said. But the more I think about it, if I was the coach of this team, at least he's trying something. I mean,
well, the pathetic part about it is, you know what? I was thinking about going to the Pitt game, but I'm probably not going to go. Oh, Fritos and Pepsi
well,
the fourth quarter. You
this is
got
to keep
me.
People in the stadium, keep them to stay after the.
Okay, well, fine. Then I was thinking about leaving so I could go hook up with that chick from the sorority house and pound a few beers. But you know what? The Fritos are going to keep me here. That's the pathetic part.
Student attendance has been better than other than the non-student attendance, I guess. But it still hasn't been great, right? I mean, they don't have anywhere close to the Penn State student/alumni fan base, and that's going to be part of the problem. Although, I guess, what's weather forecast look like for tomorrow? Good?
I have no idea.
Should be a decent day.
I was looking at the San Diego weather. I guess that was probably a waste of time.
Jaga.
Build an on-campus stadium. Fritos and Pepsi.
Fritos and Pepsi. 65 and clear tomorrow.
On-campus stadium.
65 and clear?
That should be good. Nobody should have to leave early for that one. Pitt, a 12:30 kickoff against UVA.
God, is that funny.
All right. Did you guys catch the first 3-on-3 overtime in the National Hockey League last night?
No.
No, I did not.
Oh, my. Is it unbelievable?
Who was it?
Philadelphia and Tampa. Tied, they go to overtime, and now it's, of course, the mandatory 3-on-3. I mean, it is true hockey on drugs. There were, in the first minute and a half, I think 5 odd man breaks. There was a penalty shot, which was stopped.
Wow.
That would be fantastic. That would have been hilarious if, after implementing 3-on-3 and going to this length to stop the shootout from determining the game, if it was lost on a penalty shot.
Well,
oh, the irony!
It is. I mean, it was exciting. Like, if you I'm sure you can find the highlights somewhere. It'll take you 4 minutes, and it's end-to-end action. It's two-on-ones. It's breakaways. It's a penalty shot, and the game-winning goal was a breakaway by Jason Garrison of Tampa.
Oh, it was a breakaway anyway.
Yes. After Steve Mason had already made, like, a couple of great saves. Pads.
Go home,
out.
Flyers!
I did notice some people on Twitter talking about 3-on-3, and I never bothered really to follow up. I should have, but
all the hockey purists
barfing all over themselves about, it's so good. Oh, it's so good to not have to shoot out. Oh, this is such great hockey. Okay, it's fun. It's interesting, yes, but it's not. This is just as tricked up as the shootout. Obviously.
Oh, it's more tricked up. It is more. I mean, one of the Flyers passed it to himself, and it was awesome. It was like he's coming out of his zone.
Did any of them punch themselves?
Yes, they punched themselves in the face.
They
fought each
themselves?
Other. Yes. No, but he threw it off the boards, and you got to. That's like your teammate. And it went into open ice and just sat there for like 5 seconds. Then he went and picked it up. Goes down 2-on-1. There was one point where the defenseman like peeled back and did a whole big loop because he was afraid to get caught. Because you know there are some teams that are going to be conservative about this. It's a whole new, totally bastardized version of hockey. It really is wild, and you're going to have this for a full year. And the guy, I can tell you're going to hate it. I mean, I know it.
It sounds fun.
It was fun, but I mean, a whole year of it. Get ready for the gong show.
Interesting little montage here on the MLB Network as you were talking hockey. I looked up and noticed we still got this on in hopes that they've decided to replay or now implement a 2-out-of-3 series, I guess. I don't know, for the Cubs and Pirates. But they did this montage about Mitch Moreland from Texas and how similar he is to Brian Giles. His approach, the play, his swing, etc.
Shaved
body hair and steroids.
Well, he's got a big, bushy beard, so I guess he's not like Giles in that context. But you do forget that. Whatever he was on, it worked for Brian Giles because he was a good hitter.
Yes, he was.
He was a good hitter for a while here, and we just have glossed over every bit of impact he had in the franchise because largely didn't impact the franchise to winning any games. And, you know, the whole steroid aspect, the perceived steroid aspect with Brian Giles.
How many players do you think are currently on steroids? I mean, do we really think Arrieta is something funny going on there?
I would not be surprised.
Let
me put it to you this way, Ken. I will be more surprised if we never hear his name linked to steroids than if we do. How about that?
And if we do get any concrete ever, people will lose their minds, right? Because then everything we just watched 2 nights ago.
Right. Right.
You robbed the Pirates of a long postseason run.
Yep.
But who's to say there aren't 10 Pirates that are on right now? I mean, could be.
What Pirate would you most think?
I have no idea.
I mean, there isn't a guy there that I think.
Well, I think Cervelli and S-Rod qualify as roid rage quite often. Their reaction more so than their body type or their hitting.
It's almost unfair to start doing that, but I just kind of nobody would surprise me, and nobody at all. From the closer to the setup man to the, you know. Outfield.
Melanson on steroids? No, I don't think. I think Melanson.
Any guy who had like a lull in his career and rejuvenated.
Hap.
Gets lumped.
Oh, yeah. Cervelli was linked with Biogenesis. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So I don't care that much. Like you're saying about Giles, he was so good. You kind of were like, yeah, it was worth it. You know, hey, yeah, he was a hell of a player.
That was a different time back then.
Yeah. What kind of time are we in now? There's still some...
Now we're in a time where you can get caught.
Okay. Like David Ortiz. Okay, you covered him in Boston.
Yeah.
This guy went over 500 home runs this year. He's going to be up for the Hall of Fame. He was one of those lists 12 years ago.
Yeah, he was on the banned substance test list, right.
He says he gets tested now more than anybody. He hasn't come up guilty. But even if you're on one list one time, maybe it'll keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
Right. It's still
worth it. The Yankees fans care every time this guy comes to the plate.
Do they care? Yankees fans care, yes. They care about him. They've ceased caring about A-Rod. Boy, isn't that funny, because A-Rod started to become productive again this year. Now they start caring about Ortiz. As it relates to Ortiz, does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. Why? Because you were the central figure of a team that broke the curse of the Bambino and won 3 championships, and you'll never buy a stake in that city again. and you made $16 million repeatedly on one-year contracts even after your name came up on that list. You've made millions upon millions of dollars. Of course it was worth it even if you don't get in the Hall of Fame. F the Hall of Fame.
Well,
who cares
now,
about the friggin'
Theo,
Hall of Fame?
Now Theo is taking his game to Chicago, huh? Huh? Just saying.
Well, you think it was Theo that got him on steroids?
I don't know. Maybe the new Bill James is a little needle in the arm.
On.
I mean, who knows?
You don't think that
everybody
David
could be guilty in this.
David found the steroids with or without Theo Epstein.
If we're going to just blame everybody and accuse everybody, why not just blame everybody? Executives, the players. I mean, would it surprise you if it was, if there were executives
no, I mean,
that were
no,
handing
not
it out?
I'll tell you why it wouldn't surprise me is science is always ahead of the testing. I think the testing is much better and more thorough than it's ever been, but I still think there's probably a chemist out there someplace that's been able to mask things, and they're smarter about when they do their cycles. You know,
yeah, it's so unknown now. I'm with John Steigerwald. They're all probably guilty. You can't even care that much anymore. You just have to accept it that as long as you can get away with it, then fine. Anything goes.
Well, if you're asking, Ken, do we selectively care? Do we care when the opponent does it? Yes. Do we care when our own guy does it? No. Do we care when it is impacting the postseason or impacting a record? Yes. You know, it's of course we apply it selectively. That's just kind of human nature, I think. Is it inconsistent? Should it be done differently? Right. Absolutely. We should care about everybody all the time. If we're going to care, we should care about everybody all the time, but we don't. It's just who we are as people.
Yeah, like I'd love to be 100% sure it was an even playing field. I would love that. There's nothing worse than if we were watching these games and we talk about them 20 hours a week and they're all tainted by, you know, an unbalanced playing field. But if you don't get caught, like Braun got caught, so he deserves to be crushed every time he comes to the plate. And he is, right? He deserves everything he got.
Well, let me put it this way. The reason he deserves more is because he lied about using it, accepted an MVP full well knowing that he used, and he got off on a technicality. I think that makes his case even worse than someone else's.
But the biggest thing is he got caught.
Those three guys who got hurt yesterday, all in the same game, right? Batista, Donaldson, and Beltre.
Yeah.
If the three of them all peed in a cup and it was nothing but pure horse steroids, if like the steroid pills were actually, if they passed one like a kidney stone, would you be the least bit surprised in any of those cases? No, you wouldn't. I mean, I suspect everybody.
I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff Decker was on. I mean, anybody, you know, Pedro Florimon to make the league, to stay in the league.
Right. Yeah. You know, so. a guy like McCutcheon, for instance, who's got what appears to be lots of natural ability, and, you know, it isn't a mega power hitter. You know, I would be a little surprised that
I would too.
A little surprised that he was on steroids. Then again, a guy of that relative size that can get that much torque and bat speed, maybe I shouldn't be.
We still have a double standard with the NFL because we really don't care about the NFL, right? I mean, these guys that are coming off suspension after four games, we're talking about Antonio Gates as if nothing happened. It's just like, oh, well, yeah, Gates is back. No problem. He took a supplement that was – I mean, Antonio Gates has been in the league 15 years. His whole tenure,
well,
his whole career should
standard.
Be tainted.
People have cared more about it in baseball than they have in football.
Look,
I know.
We got into this thing with Vic about how I don't forgive Vic, right? Well, when it comes to the steroid angle, I think there's an acceptance, Ken, because, all right, you run the risk. You did this to your own body. You know what the rules were. You broke them. You got popped. 50 games for baseball, 4 games for football. Okay, come back. Now show me what you can do. And part of the reason that people hate A-Rod so much is, now there's a guy who you would have thought didn't need steroids, right? All that much talent, all that much natural size and ability. He
right.
shouldn't have needed steroids to be as good as like, – he could have been what Barry Bonds was pre-steroids without steroids. But he chose to do it and do it again. And I think people are like, all right, you want to run the risk? You want to beat the system? Good for you. You can beat the system. I get it. But, oh, now you got busted. Now you're a cheater. Ryan Braun, right?
Yes.
If you just – if you cheat and you get caught, serve your time, serve your punishment, and then we'll kind of move on. We'll always remember it. It'll be convenient for us to bring up when we feel like it. But, you know, we'll move on like Antonio Gates. But if you lie about it like Braun, if you do it repeatedly and try to lie about it like Bonds or Rodriguez, that's when people start to come down on you. Or Clemens. You know, you take it to the Supreme Court.
Or Rafael Palmeiro.
Or Palmeiro, and you wag your finger at Congress.
Yeah, that's why you said the biggest thing is they got caught. I don't think the biggest thing is they got caught. I think with Braun, especially him being in the same division, but accepting an MVP award, lying about it, and, you know.
Getting that guy fired for playing with his urine.
Yeah, the sample was tainted.
Yeah.
The fridge sample. Well, I guess. So you're saying you should do it, but you can do it, but if you get caught, then you just have to admit it. You can't lie about it and try it again.
Right.
You get a one-time get-out-of-jail-free card.
Okay, you tried to cheat. I think people know how it works now. People know how you try to get around the system. You try it, all right. You got sloppy, bang. You got popped for 4 in the NFL. You get popped for 50 in baseball. Now show me you can do it without steroids.
Okay, but this biogenesis list that Cervelli's name was on, does anybody remember that? Will anybody hold Ortiz up when he gets to the Hall of Fame?
I forgot already. See, if you're a marginal midline player and you weren't that good before steroids, and you come back and you're still basically the same kind of guy, or even a little bit better, like Cervelli, then I think people will let it
You're
wash.
Risking liver cancer for this?
Yeah, right.
But, hey, it was a hell of a year for Cervelli. This changed his whole career,
What did
he
finish batting in the National League? Top 10? I bet he was.
He played a ton of games.
With about a week to go, he was 8th. That was the last time I remember looking.
Josh just looked that up.
And he was talking about that in the locker room, the more positive than we expected or think the locker room should have been the other night, as Tim and I had judged it.
Boy, did Rob Beer Temple disagree with us there.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, oh, I saw people crying. I didn't see
really?
That. Yeah, I mean, he said we got
but
it all
Bill
wrong.
West agreed with us. Bill West agreed with you guys. He thought it was not as...
Who the hell was crying?
He said there were two guys with tears in their eyes or were trying to hold back tears. He didn't say who.
Probably Ramirez and A.J. Burnett.
Probably Jeff Locke because A.J. Burnett's leaving.
I mean, I saw a lot of guys... I saw a lot of guys, you
How
know...
How am I going to get to work?
Hugging each other, have a good offseason, enjoy the family. That part doesn't bother me. I'm almost talking more about the me. I heard too much... praise for winning 98 games from various guys in the locker room. That's not a night to reflect on winning 98 games, unless that's their own inner mechanism way of dealing with the defeat that they just had.
Yeah,
I'm glad Bill agreed with us.
Yeah, Bill agreed.
But anyway, what was your thought?
You can't trust guys that wear bow ties.
It does look weird. You know how people...
Tom Barrasso showed up at his first press conference with a bow tie, and I knew.
You know, like people have a long day at work, and you go out to the bar, you loosen the tie, you kind of open it up at the collar.
I go out to the bar after a short day at work.
Right. Sometimes at work.
With a short
That's
tie.
The way it used to
Sometimes
work at Channel
on the day
4.
Off.
The way, Channel 4 used to work that way all the time. People go to the hotel that's closed down, right?
All right, I'm going to tell a story here.
By the way, Cervelli, 28th in the league in baseball on average. It's good.
But anyway, I was going to say Rob Beer Temple showing up when the game was over, he had the bow tie open.
Oh.
Just dangling. I was like, that's not a good look. It just doesn't look good when the bow tie is open. You can open up your regular tie, the bow tie hanging. It doesn't look good.
I think it looks all right.
So I'm sitting in August of 1984. I'm filling out all my tax information and stuff at Channel 4 for payroll as I get hired there.
Drug trials going on in Pittsburgh?
I don't remember.
Okay. Sorry.
And... I needed a stapler, a paper. I forget what I needed. And Stu Emery, I don't know if you guys remember Stu Emery, excellent reporter back in the day, is sitting at the next desk. And I'm a little intimidated. I mean, Paul Long's there, Don Ken, this whole room full of all these people that I had watched. And whatever I needed, Stu says, look in that desk drawer there. And I'm not going to say whose desk I was sitting at, but I opened up the desk drawer, and there was a half-gone fifth of scotch in the top of the desk drawer.
Nice.
I mean, if you've watched Mad Men, that's the way life was in the 70s.
It was a
television news. And it wasn't just Channel 4, whether it was Bill Burns or, I mean, the guys doing the play-by-play, Harry Carrier, Bob Prince, and those. I mean, it was much more accepted. I mean, my goodness.
It is funny you say that. You use the Mad Men analogy there because my wife loved that show, and she always used to
Mad Men.
Mad Men.
Oh, I loved it too.
I never really got into Mad Men. It just
really
moved too slowly for me. It was just a slow show. I'd never
the
bought
characters
into
it. Were so good. That's what was. They seemed so real.
But you bring up the Channel 4 thing. My wife watched that show, and one of the few I would try to sit down and try to get into it so we could actually watch a TV show together that we liked. I made this effort, and there's one episode I remember watching it, like you said, everybody drinking the scotch at work, and I said to her, this looks like the stories I've heard about Channel 4 back in the day. I actually said that out loud. So when you made that analogy, it just struck my memory.
SportsTalk at TribWeb.com. Talking about the...
Except I never heard it at work that you guys would go across... Not you guys, but they would go across the street to that hotel. Was it the Holiday Inn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
It's now been shut down. I'm pretty sure they cook meth there. But again, not they, the Channel 4 people. Just people in general cook meth there.
I think there is a police tape strewn about that building.
It, yeah.
SportsTalk at TribWeb.com.
Although the thought of Sally on meth does make me intrigued.
Dan D. emails. How about for free agent pitcher options, guys, Samardzija or Kazmir? Hap was great, but as Guy said, small sample size might drive up his value beyond his worth.
Sorry, I was thinking about Sally on meth. You want to give me that one again?
I've always liked Samardzija.
Yeah, Samardzija.
Again, if you've got something in your grasp, why do you got to reach for something else?
If Samardzija comes here, you know what would happen. Hey, you think that the Steelers should get him. Big Ben needs a big target in red zone. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, if Martavis Bryant gets 10 games, pull him in. Samardzija's there.
When's Martavis going to practice?
Yeah, what was the deal there? He was held out yesterday?
Yeah, I don't think Samardzija does that pot. I think Martavis is on pot. I'll hang up and listen.
No, seriously, we'll talk more Steelers Monday. That'll be game day. But if you... This was supposed to be the big re-addition to help out Mike Vick. He did not practice yesterday. Is that accurate?
You know, a lot of times veterans in camp, like they'll practice the first day and then they won't practice the second day because their bodies just go into shock. This lower body soreness that we're hearing about Martavis Bryant.
Lower body soreness?
It sounds like his quads and his hammies are sore because he's running around or trying to get back into the shape. And I thought he was working out while he was with John Lucas. Didn't you get that impression?
I would have.
They're just doing something?
With John Lucas, they're probably sitting on a couch, right, with a notepad.
Here's my concern. What's he going to do to medicate the pain away?
Yeah, it's true. He's got to vape. He's got to find alternative methods to relieve the stress now. Full participation yesterday from Cortez Allen, Dan McCullers, Ryan Shazier, Matt Spaeth, and Marcus Wheaton. But lower body soreness for Bryant.
That sounds to me like a situation where he just wasn't in shape, and now he's trying to get back into shape in a hurry, and he can't get out there and practice.
Oh, he didn't have to be listed on the practice report
right
until he's back on the roster, so they don't have to say whether he did or
correct
did not practice.
Yes, there's no explanation that need be given, but from everything I've gathered, he's sore. He's not practicing.
Well, Cabali said he didn't practice Wednesday.
Right.
And they don't know.
He
didn't
said
say
he didn't
Thursday
practice Wednesday.
So how does he have lower body soreness? When did he practice? Monday?
Well, if he's working out, he might be working out. He might be running.
Oh, man.
But if he doesn't, the question is, can he practice, what, Saturday? Because they are practicing Saturday, tomorrow. If he practices,
Saturday's a Friday.
Yes, Saturday is a Friday. So if he practices tomorrow, he's good to go and he can play. If he can't practice tomorrow, he probably won't play on Monday night then.
So today and tomorrow are the big days.
Yeah.
No update today. But we'll get no update because he's not on the 53-man roster until Monday. They'll have to make a roster move at 3:58.
But if he practices, I'm sure he'll get out there that he practiced.
Well, yeah. Not legally, but sources have told us, yes.
Yeah. What will happen is somebody will go up to AB and say, hey, what'd you think of Martavis at practice today? And AB will say, oh, he looked good. There it is. It's on the record. Now you can say it.
Poems from Killer Chihuahua are in, if we care to hear them.
We always
five
care
stanzas,
to hear them.
Five stanzas today from the Killer.
Well, now that the baseball season's over and you had a long time before the puck dropped in Dallas, had an extra hour there, you can crank out.
There once was an ace from Nantucket.
No musical accompaniment like Scooby-Doo music today, just Killer Chihuahua, five big stanzas. It's the middle of October and so-called great time of the year. The three local pro sports teams are playing so we can all watch and cheer. Big Ben's out, Vic is in, and the teams are using their fourth kicker. The team's using its fourth kicker. That didn't quite go. The assumed bright offensive juggernaut dimmed down to a dull flicker.
See, he had a chance to use the word beer and liquor in rhyme in there, and he didn't take it either time.
Yeah, liquor's always good. Second best record in baseball,
Bucktober. L-I-Q-U-O-R.
Oh, I was thinking of it. Bucktober looked like fun. Arrieta and punching a cooler are lasting memories of 98 and done. But that's all right, that's okay. The hopeful Penn season off to a start. all those shots add up to nothing but a disappointing loss. Who left the fart? Watching sports is great entertainment, but there is no guarantee. Take the bad with the good. Sports is still the best true life reality TV. All right. Try to end it on an uptick. It was a little wordy, Chihuahua. Maybe I didn't execute it properly today.
The iambics and the pentameters didn't match.
Yeah. We now have people tweeting who the bottle of scotch belonged to and taking guesses, guys. So I'm just going to pass over those. That's okay with you?
No, I want to hear.
No.
Go ahead, read it.
I'm not revealing it.
So, tell you what, I will guess. And Guy, I will judge by Guy's reaction as to whether or not I'm right on my guesses. So go ahead and give the nominations, Ken.
Well, let's just say Don Cannon's the favorite in the clubhouse, but I don't think this is fair to Don, given
he was sitting in another desk while I was sitting there.
Oh, okay.
Plus, he was more of a gin drinker, as I recall. I don't know that. I know you're looking at me like, do I really know that? No, I don't know that. I was just saying that.
I have these images of Pappy Long, Paul Long, sitting there late in his career, too, smoking a cigar at his desk. I mean, you can't smoke in a building now, but he'd smoke cigars, and then he would lean back. He'd fall asleep in a chair. The ashes would come down on his tie and shirt. He had the greatest quote one time. He said, oh, it's ramping out rain at the high school game tonight. It's pouring out there right now.
Yes. Yeah,
he said, in Pittsburgh, people like to think that their news anchors fart once in a while.
He had that Scotch voice, right? I mean,
it wasn't him either.
No, not Paul Long.
And that's it. I'm not giving out any more information because I'm not
Don Cannon.
Someone,
but not Paul Long.
Told you it was Sally.
Sally didn't drink any alcohol for a very long period of time. She was a teetotaler. I think she'll have an occasional wine now. But
hey, by the way, this happened during the Pirates wildcard game, so nobody heard it. But big changes to the high school sports landscape in Western PA with these classifications changing. They're going to 6 classes next year, up from 4. I mean, it's all going out the window.
I talked to Jim Render about that when I was out there to do a story a month ago on one of their players who's had battled back from cancer. And I said, for a different story, I said, what do you think of it? Because I thought for sure he'd be for it because despite all of Upper St. Clair's success, they've been the smallest or one of the smallest quad A schools for years. They never shrink enough to drop into triple A, but they always have a small enrollment compared to some of the bigger quad A schools. And he wouldn't go one way or the other. He said, I see why they want to do it. I'm not 100% for it. I'm not against. He really was noncommittal. He didn't have a thought either way. One of the reasons the WPIL is against it is they can't have all 4 championship games in one day anymore.
Right.
And you're going to play 3 on Friday, 3 on Saturday. How are you going to work it out? And would Heinz Field even allow that? As much as they tear up the turf now, you're going to have 6 football games there in 24-hour period. So that's part of what they don't like, too. And a lot of coaches are afraid that you're going to lose traditional rivals. Or that you're going to have to travel a lot further.
And what they're worried about in the state championship level is now Hershey's going to turn into a 3-day event. It's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 2-2-2, potentially.
That doesn't bother me so much, really. But
and it's not just football. There's a lot of sports that are going to go to this. I think both boys and
soccer,
girls, basketball,
volleyball,
soccer, ball, yeah.
Well, I was joking with Kevin Gorman in the press box before the wild card game. I asked him, what do you think about all this? And one of the names he brought up was Render, and he was joking that Render's going to go on a spree and try to get kids kicked out of school so they can have their enrollment. Like he's going to drop pot in their bags or check their Twitter accounts to try to get them suspended so the enrollment looks smaller by about 50 kids each year.
They won't have to. I would figure they'd be one of the ones that would be, 4 or 5A out of a 6-team group.
Well, big piece at TribLive.com. You can check this out from Chris Harlan, and he'll be on it, too, with Kevin Gorman to talk about this. But, yeah, Upper St. Clair would be 5A, not 6A. There'd be 19 schools 5A. There'd be 13 that are 6A. So you can play up, though, so Upper St. Clair might play up to the highest classification anyway. But it's kind of bizarre. And they're going to shorten it by a week, right? That's another part of it.
Yeah, they've already – I mean, the last time they redid the playoffs and added teams, they shortened the regular season. You used to play 10 regular season games. And, I don't want it to get too much into the season is designed only for the teams going on to the playoffs. I mean, if you're a – a lot of teams now only have 4 home games a year. That's not that many. People complain about the teams that go to the state championships and the season's too long. For a handful of a couple of teams that have to play 16 games to claim 40 years from now to say I was on a state championship team. They can handle that for 1 year. It's not every school. A lot of them are only playing 9 weeks. And if you drop that back to 8, is that what it'll be? That just doesn't seem like enough regular season games to me. It's becoming like Little League Baseball. Let's get all the bad kids out of the way in April and May, and we'll start our tournament games in June.
Right.
Because I was never a good ball player, but I'm going to manage some. Damn it.
Kevin and I, another thing that came up, and I'm sure he'll talk about this more when he joins us at 2, he's got his own show, and I'm sure this will be the bulk of it, because it is a big deal on this level, is that maybe the WPIL just says, go screw to the PIAA. That's fine. Go ahead. You do what you want.
Really?
We won't even bother doing
they could just
states. We'll have our championships will
defect?
Be
defect?
Yeah, do their own thing. Like doesn't Ohio do something like
if
that?
Football, Philadelphia for years their schools weren't in the state playoffs.
Like Ohio, I think
inner city Philadelphia
regional.
Basketball schools did not participate.
Screw you and your state championship. What matters is the Whippeal. You know, you win the Whippeal.
Well, you know, there's a lot of that mentality still around here. A lot of people have won Whippeal and state championships, and the Whippeal title means more to them in football.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. See, and that's where I took the conversation with Kevin, and I was trying to remember myself, and believe me.
If we're only football, Tim, I think that would be a possibility that happened, but when you're talking about all these other schools, is the WPIL lacrosse championship, you know, those kids love going to state. So that could you separate? Could you just say, in football, we're not competing? I don't know.
Well, our conversation was about football.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to put myself out there as a high school expert by any means. I've barely covered high school at all, and I didn't cut my teeth here journalism-wise in Pittsburgh. I did it elsewhere and then came to Pittsburgh, so I didn't do a lot of the high school stuff, just a little bit. And I'll tell you, the only times that I remember the states being more heavily paid attention to, or not even, but just heavily paid attention to at all, were when Terrell Pryor went to state championships, and the year that West A played Perry with Tyler Palko. Remember that game?
Yeah,
and like
undefeated Perry.
Because they were the two best schools locally, and they didn't play each other, right? They didn't play each other, and then they got to play each other in states. And, because we got to play each other in states, this is where it was going to happen, right?
Neil Walker's senior year, too, that ended in the snow with a one-point loss by Pine Richland. I paid it. That was a great game.
Okay, there's a third one. Yeah. All right, there's a third one. But those are the only three times in, like, the 15 years that I've been here where I really thought, boy, the states are getting a lot of – I'm really
I'll tell you
up.
What was cool, Tim. I did one game where LaShawn McCoy was playing for Harrisburg, and they played Central Catholic, played at Altoona. It was awesome. There was a ton of hype. You know, LaShawn McCoy, best runner in the state. Central shut him down and beat him. Yeah, I mean, that was what you'd miss. Games like that.
I always feel like the WPILs at Heinz Field are the thing. And then after that, it's almost like a denouement for the PIAAs.
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, you'll see that. You'll get, maybe a grand total of 25,000 people throughout the day at Heinz Field. And then the first state playoff game will be in the snow at Altoona, and there's 400 people there. Now, by the time you get to the state championships, you might have more people there. I've enjoyed it, especially, I take pride in when a couple times you've had three or four WPIL football or, six of the eight basketball teams that go to Hershey or whatever or State College in recent years are from here, and I like to see them do well. But
even the state hockey tournaments, I've enjoyed watching the Flyers Cup and the Penguins Cup.
Oh,
champions.
Well, I mean,
well,
with,
that's what
with
Guy
my
is
son
talking
playing
about.
For Central and everything, I enjoyed that too.
That's what Guy's talking about. There's a sport where maybe it means more on the PIAA level as opposed to the Whippeal.
And the other thing about it is, too, how much does it cheapen the WPIL trophy? Well, now, what's the smallest division going to be? You said 19 6A teams? What do you have the rest of the list in front of you?
Yeah, 13 6A teams.
13. So if you're the 6A champion, you beat out 12 other teams.
Unless people play up.
Prom queen at a welding school. I mean,
like Upper St. Clair might play up. I don't know what they'll do.
And it's not just the difference between Heinz Field and Hershey, like you talked about, Guy. It's also you go to Heinz Field, you play in front of 25,000 where the Steelers play on a weekly basis, and then game one of the PIAA playoffs is back at a rinky-dink high school stadium, like you said, with 600 people there again.
Yeah, North Allegheny or wherever they host.
Who won the first Quad A state championship in 87? Central Catholic?
Upper St. Clair won, I think, Central Catholic.
Somebody
was
refused
they
to
go
and the team that took their place won the state championship.
That's right. It was Upper St. Clair and Central, but I forget who went and who stayed.
One decided. I thought Upper St. Clair refused to go and Central Catholic won the title.
It was 88, I think.
Which showed you you know, at that time, the mentality definitely was the WPIL was more important.
Right. I think it was Render that didn't go. I think he didn't want to go to the States, if I remember. But anyway, Kevin will know all this, but yeah, it doesn't go back that far.
One other point that Kevin brought up is this is kind of screwy for the Western Pennsylvania schools, especially on the lower level, because so many – there are still more little – lower level individual school districts here in the West than there are in the center of the state and out east, because in the center of the state and out east, they have been more inclined to go to regionals, like regional school districts. I mean, regional school districts. Whereas, like a Clareton, for instance, like they're still Class A, right? Clareton?
Yeah.
Clareton.
Right.
Yeah, and according to this list, they have 92 senior graduates. 92.
Yeah, Central beat Cedar Cliff 7-3 in the Quad A championship in 88.
So who does this mean that Clareton then plays in state? Where are they going to be? Do we know?
Yeah, they're A, the lowest class.
They will remain A.
Yes. Well, they can play up too if they wanted to, I guess. I mean,
Alec Whipple was playing AAA football when I first did their games on the radio when I first got out of college, and they definitely would have been AA. I think they might have been single A. They might have been playing up two classes, and they were still winning championships under UNESA.
They just need to merge some of these schools, honestly. I mean, they've done some of that, more and more of that, right? Central Valley and Armstrong, whatever it's called now, up in the valley.
I don't feel that badly for a small Quad A school having to compete against a big Quad A school. It's schools that, well, I'll use Avella as an example, where they ended up taking a cheerleader to play on the football team because she was an intern of mine, or they were going to have to forfeit. They didn't have enough players to play. I mean, now you're talking about guys getting hurt.
Can she kick?
You got eight. She actually made a tackle.
Can she replace?
She made
Scobie?
A tackle. Josh worked with her too.
I called one of their games and they played with 10. They didn't have enough kids. That one kid was injured and they couldn't play. They just played with 10.
I mean, so that's where I think that's where the real disparity in numbers, you know, I think, are in a big single A school and a small single A school.
I think I heard as well somehow Farrell still got screwed here.
Well, they got held out. They wanted to come back.
You know what? They keep jumping out and jumping in and jumping out and jumping in. Make up your mind.
They were complaining about racial treatment in their conference. I don't know what was going on there. That was
really?
Yeah.
What, by officials?
Chronic mistreatment of our students and staff by the...
Boy, just take them out like the guys in Texas.
District 10, yeah. I don't know.
But
they're with the Erie schools.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong on this. But their hope was that when the dust settled from all this, they'd wind up back in the Whippeal, and they still haven't. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
PIAA won't let them back in.
Okay.
Sports.contribweb.com. And again, that's the PIAA voting to expand classifications to 6 in football, and more to come at 2 p.m. today with Kevin Gorman and Chris Harlan in the Kevin Gorman Show.
I'm glad we talked about that. I'm glad we got into that because I kept meaning to do that, and there's so much other stuff on the table.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. Some people care, some people don't at all. But
God sakes, we've barely even talked about the Steelers and Chargers, so there's so much going on. I just felt like that story got dusted a bit, and I do think it, even for somebody like me who, like I said, I'm not a high school sports guy by any stretch, I think that's a significant story. I think that's a big deal.
Pick and Pork's a big deal, and unfortunately, Guy Junker is dominating the field here through the first month.
Well, why is it unfortunately? You sit there and brag for 2 years about how great you are, and I lead, and it's unfortunate. And you don't hear me
sit
here smoking my own pipe.
Were proud of me for winning the last 2 years. You were so gracious of a winner, of a loser the last couple years.
Well, 2 years ago I lost to you by a game, so that one made me
mad.
You
whined about it for months, yeah. That's part of the fun of picking pork.
You know, last year when and you know what happened that year? I went to St. Louis for the baseball playoffs, and I had an 0-5 week because I had no time to do any research or think about it, and I lost to you by one game. So there.
Well, you stunk last year, but you're
I did. I
17-6 this season, which is incredible.
Well, I decided last year I didn't give a shit because the year before I tried hard and I've missed a game. So last year I went with the Steige approach. I just thought I tried to envision
what
was going to happen in the game. Yeah. I didn't look anything up. I just tried to envision what was going to happen.
Thanks to Cabali, Benz is out of last place. Cabali is dreadful. 8-15.
He's a former champion.
Former champ.
It's humbling.
We'll pick four games coming up, 3 college and 1 pro, and we'll save the Steelers and Chargers for Monday. Pick and Pork. Josh Taylor's along. Also,
so wait a minute. How does that work then? We bridge the weekend with Pick and Pork?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
Well, so I don't know what that means, but
I'm asking, like, we're not going to, it doesn't carry over to a week, so it's not like we blow off the Steelers because they play on Monday night. We just save our results for Tuesday.
I think we want to wait till Monday until all the info is in, Martavis Bryant's soreness, etc.
Oh, all right. So we pick four now, see how the weekend goes, and then we pick the fifth one being the Steelers on Monday.
That's the way I like it.
All right.
Any complaints?
No. I think that's the way to go.
All right.
Oh, no, then we have to work with you.
I'm just mad that Farrell's not back in the WPIAL.
Those are both gifts.
What are the two nicknames that Farrell goes by?
Well, Steelers is one.
The real name is the Steelers, but they're often called...
The Nitwits.
Right first letter.
The Nincompoops.
Knight Riders. They were one of the first
Knight
schools,
Riders.
One of the first schools to have lights.
Knight Riders.
The Farrell Knight Riders.
Put, yep. Put that in your notebook.
Oh, that's so much better than the Steelers.
Like, oh, I can have David Hasselhoff.
I was just
going to
say, play the theme. Does the band play the theme when the team comes on
I've
the
never
field?
Been to a game there, but I've done games where they've played down here.
Dun-dun.
Somebody drives Kit onto the field there.
What county is that school? Is that Lawrence County, or is that still?
No, that's way up there. It's like
that would be phenomenal. I would.
Sharon's in Lawrence County, isn't it?
Think of the possibilities with the helmets and the uniforms. Like, they just have black helmets with a little red thing across the front.
Night Riders in the sky.
Somebody could be number one and just have K-N-I-G-H-T on the back. R-D-R. But your name's Timmy. That doesn't matter.
Duffy's Beer brings you the Trib Live Radio Morning Show here in Pleasant Hills. Their beer and much more at 412-653-BEER at duffysbeer.com. Great specials including Miller Lite, Coors Light, and Ying 24-pack cans on special this month for just $14.99. They are your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all of your party and tailgating needs for the weekend's games. Coming up, games to pick, Four Horsemen Hour, all brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza.
When you're interviewing for a job with a criminal record, it's like having an elephant in the room. Nobody wants to acknowledge it, but it's there, and it'll be the reason you won't get the job before you face a felony. Talk to an attorney who understands the importance of a clean record.
Call attorney Frank Walker, 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805.